Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is not just a typical Monday here at Coach Dave Live or here in the Coach Dave and Michelle household, that's for sure. Yes, I got a house full again. This is a different house full, though. And I'm glad they're here. As you know, we had the seminar, whatever you want to call it, the meeting, Mike Spaulding's Go Ye Therefore Conference this weekend in Lima, Ohio. Yes, it's Lima like a bean, not Lima like Peru. In Lima, Ohio, and it was a fantastic time. And I want to say that Pastor Mike pulled it off. I don't know how he did it. He had 18 speakers, I think. I don't know, 15, 18 speakers. Every one of them given 45 minutes. And the title of Pastor Spaulding's event was Go Therefore. Go Therefore. I've been to a lot of these events. Been to many Hear the Watchman. Been to others, we put on our own. This was the best I've ever been to. And the reason I say it's the best that I've ever been to, because every speaker that spoke focused on action. You got to do something. You got to do something. There were about 200, 250 people. I don't know what the final count was. It was a long, grueling day to sit through a day and a half to sit through everything. Every speaker was good. Your butt gets tired. Your back gets tired. Your ears get tired. You overeat, getting snacks and stuff like that. But it was, what's that song? Something's Happening Here. And I want to specifically say this. Something's happening in Ohio. David, I got you a chair right here. You have to get in here right now when you're ready. Something's happening in Ohio. I can't put a finger on it. You know, we in Ohio, Jared, can you pull up a map of the United States? I want to show people something real quickly. You know, the theme of the governmental theme, the marketer theme of Ohio, like if they want to market Ohio, Virginia's for lovers, you remember that? Well, our theme here in Ohio has always been the heart of it all. Ohio, the heart of it all. And Jared, if you can expand that even a little bit more. Folks, look how Ohio is, how it's positioned. It's positioned really pretty much right where the heart would be on a body, if you were to look at a body. And I believe that Ohio, if you look at that, here's what's unique about Ohio. Ohio is an eight-hour drive to two-thirds of the population of America. Now, Jared, take that little pointer. So let's say we want to go to Philadelphia. A lot of people in Philadelphia, do it, Jared. Go to Philadelphia, 8 hours. You want to go to Chicago? I mean, you can stay back in that big screen, Jared. I didn't mean for you to do that. I'm sorry. Go back to the big screen. I didn't mean to focus in on on Ohio. There he's showing 7 hours and 40 minutes. Go back to your original first screen. You name the city. Ohio is within a day's drive of it. Chicago? Jared gets that off the screen there. There we go. Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Nashville, Charlotte. Two-thirds of the population of America are within a day's drive of Columbus, Ohio. Because, you know, everything, get over to the east, everything's really packed in there a little bit more. New York City, you name it, Boston. So there's something going on in Ohio. And that's why I was surprised at Pastor Mike's conference I hate to use the term diverse because that's just an overworked term. But again, the people, where they came from was really, really pretty amazing. As I said, all the speakers were really focused on getting something done. I met a new hero. I heard for the first time a new hero, Jamie Waldron. We're going to have to get Jamie on here. He's a young guy. 35-year-old guy. Man, it was, he gave a powerful presentation. It was just really, really good. And I don't know if Pastor Mike's in here this morning. He usually tries to pop in. He's probably, if I was him, I'd be sleeping in. But it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And as a result of some, David Heavener and his wife, Sharita, are with us. Ryan's over there, still asleep over there on the couch, I think. Mark Trump's here. And our house is full again. And it's good. And they're going to hang out for, David and his wife have to leave here in a second. I'm going to have him, don't go away, because David's going to come in. He's going to tell us what's really going on in Hollywood. What's really happening behind the scenes, stuff that we don't understand. So you don't want to miss it. But before I get too deeply in that, Jared, go back. Just I want to make a point about a couple different things here. Chad, how did it go? Is Chad in here? How did things go down in your event down there, Chadley, in Moody? Is it Moody, Texas? No. Yeah, Moody. No, whatever that town is. How'd it go, Chad? Or if Chad's not in here, Victor or somebody was there, tell us all about it. Dave, you got it. We got earphones. It'll work for you there if you want to. But Chad's not in.
Well, I don't know if he is, but I'm here.
Okay, tell us, Vic. You drove the 9 hours or whatever to get there, huh?
Yeah. It's we met Albert there on Friday there at Abilene, and then from there we went to Waco, and then from there we descended upon the Estes Ranch. It was a big scripture reading, shooting, you know, tactical stuff, you know, that Chad always brings up. Albert was talking about, you know, tourniquets and how important it always is to never travel anywhere without a tourniquet. We got a little briefing on some of the reality of what's going on down there at the border, stuff that you never come upon, which was very, very eye-opening. Just a lot of stuff. You know, Roy, like always, stands up and brings in some great ideas. He's talking about a roll call. There's just a lot of things that happened.
How many did you have there, Vic?
I'd say about 18 or 20. I didn't take a physical head count, but if I had to guess, that's what I think it was. Karen came in, David Hawkins, Cindy, Wes and his wife and his family. Craig and Booger were there for sure. Booger was up there on top of the carport. He was helping to put down some plywood. You know, I didn't know Booger could climb that high. But Craig was there. There was this young lady named Terry. She was very, very hungry. She's a second timer. So, I mean, the stuff was a large time. And of course, our favorite one, Michelle. Man, she, good food. Anthony and Al, they were there.
Something about that name, right, brother? Assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. And I guess Chad deserves to sleep in this morning, so we appreciate him and all he did. I'm just moving on, Vic, because I want to pull David in here. So God bless all of you that went there. We need to be doing more of them. I keep saying that's stupid to do that. What are you thinking? Mansfield, we have an event coming up in Mansfield, Ohio this weekend. It's on our website. You can go there, find all the details. It's a Friday, Saturday afternoon thing in and out of there. I'd love to have all of you Central Ohioers get there. Greg's contact information is all right there on the website. And looking for a wonderful time this weekend in Mansfield, Ohio. I'll talk more about that probably tomorrow. You can mark on your calendars. We have an event coming up in Branson on Labor Day weekend. Ken and I have got some stuff that we're trying to work out. This is going to be bring your family, come and be part of it. We're going to be on the streets. It's an Equal Justice Tour promotional event. It's not going to be as much activity as like going to Hillary's or something like that. Not going to be that involved, but it's going to be, we're going to gather together and hand out literature and hold signs and try to draw more people in. That's Labor Day weekend. So just pencil that in if you're close at all out there, or if you'd even love to come with your family for a little bit of a vacation, come to Branson and be part of what we're going to do there. It's not going to be all day ministry. Some people are going to come and go in and out and make it a family event, family affair. And we'll talk more about that. So go ahead and put that on your schedule. Something I gotta throw in here real quick before I pull David in here. Executions are back on the table, folks. I don't know if you saw that. Didn't get much news. It didn't get much news. But the federal government has started the death penalty again. Now, what's the significance of the death penalty?
Well, Coach, you know it's five inmates they picked, right?
Yeah, well, that's not even where I'm going, Vinny. What's the penalty for treason?
The penalty for treason?
Yeah.
Hanging.
The penalty for treason?
Used to be hanging, brother.
Yeah. Oh.
The death penalty.
Oh.
I would like to nominate Hillary Clinton for that particular position.
Point is, kind of funny that all of a sudden the death penalty is back on the table, isn't it? Huh. Now, here's what I know. Some of you right now are going, oh, I never thought of that. Now, are they going to actually execute anybody? I don't know. But we know this. They can say, we're going to. If you don't open your mouth and spill some beans here, buddy, you're going to be hanging. You're going to be, what was Clint Eastwood's movie, David? Hang them high. Right? So they're going to be hanging high if you don't talk here. So I don't know. I don't know, man. We live in crazy, crazy, crazy times. Hey, anybody got any news updates you want to throw here over the weekend that I missed out? Dr. Mike, I see you're in here now. I don't know if you can join us or not. I just was bragging on you. What a wonderful, wonderful event it was. Anything you want to add,
Coach?
Anything you want to add, Doc? What a wonderful event, man.
No, just the father was honored and glorified, and you're right. Every speaker was on point and encouraged people to get active. So don't be a fat-headed stick man, right, Coach?
That's what it is. There's some good stuff. There's good stuff. And,
thank you, brother.
Mike, I'm going to say this because it's just obvious to me. And this is going to sound really, really arrogant, but I sat there at my table for every speaker. And I leaned over and I said to my wife, we, meaning me, us, we're the only ones that can pull all this together. We're the only ones.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great ministries, but every one of them are alone. They're all alone. And David Heaven needs to be working with Russ Fisdell. And Russ Fisdell needs to be working with Jimmy Walden. And Jimmy Walden needs to be working with L.A. Marzullo. And L.A. Marzullo needs to be working with Coach Dave. Coach Dave needs to be working with John Dine. You understand? Something's happening here, folks. Something's happening here, and I believe it's an organization and an assembling of this last day army, remnant, whatever it is that you want to call it. The unbelievable amount, Dr. Michael Lake, the unbelievable amount of information in that room is absolutely staggering. And to think 250 people, I'm glad 250 people, there should have been 2,500 people there. And it's very, very obvious that we are not reaching the mainstream church. We're not reaching it. And I don't even know if that's who we go after. There are good people sitting in the churches. They have no idea what's going on. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me share an interesting piece of information with you, because you're right. We're not reaching the mainstream. However, there were some bridges built. And this is why I say that. There was a representative present of the American Pastors Network. He was present for all of these presentations. And I'll tell you what, Coach, I was watching him, because I know the lane these guys travel in. And I'm watching to see what the reaction is to some of this information, because they don't talk about this stuff. But here's my mission. My mission is to be a bridge builder and to keep that door open so that this information, what all these ministries are doing, the tactical operations and strategies that all of these ministries are doing need to infiltrate the church.
Oh, brother.
That's what needs to happen. So I'm going to be a bridge builder for all these organizations to accomplish that.
God bless you, Pastor Mike, because I have to confess this. I've been a bridge burner.
Yeah.
I have been. It doesn't always work, you know, brother. It doesn't always work.
Amen, brother.
And so we need bridge builders, and God bless you. And
well, Lord, you gave a fantastic presentation to open up the conference, Coach, and that's exactly why I put you first.
Thanks, Mike. I talk about the being a marked man. That he's, see, we're worried about the mark of the beast. I'm worried about the Ezekiel's mark, right? Mark of Ezekiel.
Amen.
Jared, can we do that real quick? Anyway, Pastor Mike, it was fabulous, and I'm stealing one of your stars here and bringing him in here this morning. Hey, Pastor Mike, Dr. Mike, you went from like five people to 250 in 2 years, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
How'd that happen?
You're going to see that kind of stuff. If it's of the flesh and you're doing it for your own name or whatever, it's going to be a disaster.
It ain't going to last, is it, buddy?
No, sir.
Well, we appreciate you, man. Appreciate all you did. And this is what I opened it with.
Thanks,
Thanks, Mike. Ezekiel 8. That's Ezekiel 9. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 9. Go to verse 2, Jared, if you can pull that up there for us. Now I got to find you here.
Hey, Coach, yes, when you get done with Ezekiel, go to 1 Samuel 38.
Okay, hang on, Jack. So he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice. Don't you love that? With a loud voice. He just didn't cry. I hear people say, oh, quit yelling. Jesus used a loud voice. Ezekiel used a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. So Ezekiel said, bring them all in here. Get in here, boys! Get in here! Behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, and which lieth toward the north, and every man brought a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. So a guy comes in with a murder machine in his hand, basically, right? And he brings the court reporter with him. That's what, you get this picture? And so here's this guy with his murder machine and this little guy with his little stamp. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Wow. This is mark of Ezekiel. This is the mark I want. This is the one I worried about, the mark of the beast.
Amen.
And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, boom, upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all of the abominations that are being done in the midst thereof. The Lord is looking for the criers and the sighers, the ones who are deeply grieved. Because if you're not deeply grieved, you ain't going to do anything. People aren't grieved about it. He said, you put that mark on those their forehead. And to the others, he said in my hearing, you go after him through the city and you smite them and let not your eye spare, and neither have ye pity. Friendship evangelism, right, David?
That's right.
Friendship evangelism right here. Slay utterly the old and the young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom it has that mark. Boom!
Wow.
And begin at my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house. So I spoke about the mark of Ezekiel. Some of you listening right now, or have the mark of Ezekiel on you, and you don't even know it. You don't understand. You can't figure out why you're thrown out of church, why you're not welcome, why you moan and cry over what's going on, and everybody around you doesn't get it. Well, Ezekiel says, some dude with an inkhorn is, boom, he stamped you on your head. And I believe it, and I believe it. I hear the moaning and the groaning, and I saw the moaners and the groaners that were there on Saturday. And did the truth be told, we are... Where am I? I want to see myself here. We are a wounded army, boys and girls. Our army is wounded. Our soldiers are wounded. They're wounded. We've got to get ourselves healed up. You can't fight injured. We got to lay our swords down against one another. We got to put away petty differences. We have got to put away petty theological differences. Things that are separating us. I wouldn't do it the way you do it, blah, blah, blah. Not all that stuff. We have to put all that away. We have to help our wounded brothers get back. We have to nurse them back to health because we're assembling a body. The Lord is assembling a body beyond what we can even understand. Anybody have a comment on that? Yeah, doesn't matter if you don't.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Well, there has to be a difference to draw the line. But when a church is okay with same-sex affirmation, and they totally twist the truth, now that we have to break away from that difference. Would you think?
We have to do that. See, I'm struggling with a couple things, Jeff. I'm struggling with our president's support of the homosexual agenda. It's a great concern to me. It's a great concern to a lot of people. And I don't know what that's all about. But if there was anything that I would ever break, I don't want to use the word fellowship, anything that would make me pull back, somebody better wake that guy up. The Holy Spirit needs to wake that guy up about how evil and wicked that homosexual agenda is. And, you know, sin in the camp, baby. It's sin in the camp.
He thinks he's being loved, but he's not being
dealing with that. That's a great concern to me. Somebody's trying to get in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that he thinks he's being loving about it, but he's going about it the wrong way.
I don't know if any of us know what he thinks. I really don't know.
Amen, bro.
But it's of grave concern to me. It is. So with that said, I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to bring the last evangelist in, David Heaven. I met David at one of the events. I think it was Here the Watch. I don't know, David, which one it was.
And yeah.
We've kind of struck up a friendship since then, and he and his wife were in Lima, Ohio, and David spoke and did a fabulous job of speaking. And you know, he has this David Heavener TV. He has a channel. I mean, he understands Hollywood and distribution and all that stuff, why we're losing. And he did a wonderful, wonderful presentation. And so I invited he and his wife. I didn't tell Michelle. I invited he and his wife to come and spend yesterday with us. They have to drive home today to Louisville, and invited him to come down here and sit in with us. So, David, I'm going to softball it to you and tell us. Just start whatever's on your heart, man. Slide in here a little bit better. I'll slide over.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Hey, morning, everybody. Good to be with you. It's interesting to do a show in the morning instead of a show at night.
Yes, sir, it is. We're waking them up, though.
Yeah, but let me get right to the point, because you guys I value your time. You have to understand, this whole thing has been what they call gaslighting. There was a movie made in the 40s called Gaslighting. And gaslighting was, the story was, a guy married a girl who had a lot of money, and at night he would go upstairs, because this was the turn of the century, he'd shake the gas lights, she'd see him shaking, he'd sneak back down, and she'd go, honey, do you see those lights shaking? He'd go, no, I didn't see him shaking. And then he'd take his clothes, put them in her drawer, then he would say, where's my clothes? She'd go, I don't know. She'd go, well, you put them in your drawer. Folks, we have been gaslighted. Now, let me explain something to you real quick, Coach.
Sure.
People think Hollywood it has a lot to do with this. No, Hollywood is a vehicle. Okay, but let me tell you who rides in the vehicle. You have the financial system. You have the culture system, the system of culture. Okay, but now listen to this. You have the religious system. Let me explain to you what's happening right now. All of the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Yahoo, they've all gathered in California. The past 2 years has been a gathering of these guys in California in a very specific place called Vista Del Mar. Okay. Now, it's very strategic. So listen to me. They have come out. They're going to now create an empire. Okay. This is where the empire is going to exist. Churches in America, major churches, these
don't need to go. No, I'm talking about grandson. Stop.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Major Six Flags Over Jesus churches have closed down in Middle America. And
Six Flags Over Jesus. I like that one.
They're moving to California. Yeah. And where are they located? They're locating around the FANG stocks. Okay. Remember I told you the Google, the Facebook, so far.
So and these churches are moving around these
exactly.
tech giants.
Yeah. And so I asked one of the pastors who I kind of know, and I said, why are you doing this? Okay. He said, because I want to go out and win souls for Jesus.
Mm.
And that hit me wrong, Coach. I'm going, wait a minute. That don't sound right. You're going to the enemy and you're telling me you want to win. No. They are partnering up,
creating their own kingdoms,
creating their own kingdom. Okay, folks, this is the beginning, and you're going to see the next couple of years, it's going to grow, 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 grow. You go, well, David, come on. That's all, you know, that's sensationalism. Really? You know, Netflix? You ever heard of Netflix?
I've heard of Netflix.
Well, guess who's on the board of directors of Netflix?
Probably not good. Isn't Susan Rice?
Oh, one of the- well, you got that. Oh, you must have. Did you hear my
I heard president? You talk, but I knew that.
But Yogi, but
so
who
you,
else?
You want me to give wrong answers now so I look dumb?
Multiple choice.
You taught me, so I'm going to repeat it. David, you got to stop that, okay? Because we can hear you.
So, and the Obamas signed a multi-year deal for Netflix on making certain kind of
So, films. Susan Rice... And the Obamas are locking arms with Netflix.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a lot more, folks. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, the agenda, what I'm saying, this is all an agenda to move forward for the work of the Antichrist. Okay? So I just want you to be aware of this, guys. You see, here's the problem. The problem is people think they go to church and the church is against, you know, these movies that are rated R and all this kind of stuff, you know, mm-hmm. right? They're not. They're actually helping to promote it. Okay, you go, why are they helping to promote R rated? As long as you can have an addiction, as long as you can have problems, as long as you can have something going on, they're your hero. This is the place you need to be. But wait a minute, grace abounds.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do anything. All you need to do is just come. Have a problem.
Just come.
Come to me, yeah. baby, and you're forgiven.
Amen.
So we've taken the Catholicism, the process of Catholicism, we've moved it into the modern day church. Why? Because in Catholicism, you just go, you confess it in a booth.
That's right. Boom, take
it's
a little,
over.
Yep, yep.
Come
yep.
into the six
Five
flags.
Our Fathers, five Hail Marys. All's good, man.
That's it. And you're right. Like, oh, I broke away from Catholicism. Now I'm now in a you know, a church. I go, really? What kind of church are you in? Oh, it's great. We have a great band up on stage and lights. And oh, it looks just like a rock concert. Oh, yeah, and the pastor, he's young. He's like
energetic.
Oh, and yeah. Oh, he's got a great message.
Got to hear him.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Got to hear him.
No, baby, you've taken the Catholic formula. They've moved it right into the Six Flags over Jesus churches.
Made pastors stars, right? The new pastors John Waynes are in the pulpit.
The pastors are the new priests that come in and you talk to them in confession. You give it all and then you walk away and you're cleansed.
Amen. Amen. So Hollywood is nothing more than an arm of this deep state,
it's
right?
Just
they're the programming arm of the deep state.
Yeah, Hollywood has no personality. Hollywood has no nothing. It's just a vehicle that you ride in. You know, there's a driver and there's passengers, right? So people think, oh, Hollywood's not doing anything. Well, Hollywood is only interested in money. I mean, they'll sell their mother for a nickel. But basically, everybody jumps in this vehicle. The political system, financial system, cultural system, but the deadly one is the religious system.
Mm. Folks, think about how we create religious stars, religious heroes. Think how we feel when some movie star, what's his name? Sting. When that is, no, the other guy. Bono. Think what an expert we made Bono to be when all he is an actor, right?
Yeah, it's worse than that. These so-called Christian movies, I'm sorry, Coach, I'm going to destroy your show when I
no,
say
you won't,
this.
No, you won't. These big boys and girls watch this
they
show.
They think like we do.
Yeah, big okay. boys and girls here.
Love you. So most of the Christian films, folks, most of them, is hypocrisy, it's blasphemy, it's not true, okay? And go, David, but they're Christian movies. Well, hang on for a second. First of all, 20 years ago, when Left Behind hit that years ago, every studio in the world wanted to jump into the Christian film industry. Why do I know? Because they came to me, because I was the guy making a lot of these indie films. David, will you make a Christian film? And at first I said, okay, all right. Okay, but here's the thing. Don't mention Jesus too much. If you talk about God, make it universal. By the way, don't offend people, you know, because our audience is the soccer moms, okay? So make it, I said, you want a universal message, right? So what's happened, Coach, over the years, all of these so-called Christian films, okay, they've jumped in, and people are flocking to him. Okay, and here's my question, and I'm not putting down movies that are very successful, but when a movie makes multi billions of dollars, and
which by the way is all they want, right? That's they don't want people to come to Jesus.
They just want the money. Yeah. But here's my question, Coach: if Jesus said, if the Scripture says many are called, few are chosen, the path is narrow, and you'll be hated of all men if you preach the gospel, how in the world would we ever think that a Christian film, a real Christian film, that millions of people are going to flock and love it?
Mm.
And everybody's going to love it. People that don't know Jesus, yeah. I love this movie. I said, really? Yeah, you do. Of course they love it. Because it's got a lot of sugar in it.
And no Jesus, very little no Jesus. Not real Jesus in it, right? Yeah. Which, by the way, folks, our friend Dr. Patrick Johnston, you know, has written produced the movie The Reliant, and it is the real Jesus is in that movie, and he's having a hard time getting it marketed, put out there, because they want to what? They want to tamp down some sort of things. So what did they do? They tacked on his movie an R rating. Why did they put an R rating on it? No sex, no blood, no cussing, no sin. They had guns. They use guns. So therefore, guns became the weapon that they used to make his movie R-rated so Christians won't go see it. You see how the game's played?
Yeah, but if they made a movie of the Bible, it'd be rated X. Look at everything in it. But you know, Coach, I was thinking, you told me this last night, maybe you should release it as an R movie, because the reason he wants PG is they want a lot more people to come see it.
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute. It's not about a lot more people. It's about the right people coming to see
Amen.
It. And
Amen.
I'm just saying, because, you know, the world puts these rating systems on movies. And by the way, folks, that is a con job, this rating system. Jack Valenti came up with it many years ago, and it has nothing to do with saving your kids, saving your family, or any type of spiritual, forget about spiritual. It's not even, anyway, they had the rating system has an agenda. I can't get into it now. So forget about the rating system.
So it isn't just to protect your children from it. It has nothing to do with that.
No, it's all about, I'll give you a clue. It's all about advertisers. See, advertisers, they're the ones that spend the money. And if they stop spending money, Hollywood freaks out and starts bowing to the Almighty.
So David, I probably shouldn't ask this you know, David's left Hollywood. He has Hollywood connections. He's still Hollywood, you know, but he's moved beyond that. And this is a question very few people will ask, but I'm going to ask it. And if you want to punch me and walk off, you can. But I think we ignore, David, the Jewish influence in Hollywood. By Jewish, I mean, they're not believers in Jesus, right? And so they can be the nicest guy and, you know, be heads of studios, and they're Jewish, but they don't like that name Jesus. Is the Jewish influence as strong as we hear it is?
No, it is not. It is not. Let's go back to 1930s, 1940s, when they made the Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur. All those were made by Jews that came from Russia.
Cecil B. DeMille.
Yeah, exactly. The Jews controlled Hollywood for many, many years, okay? And it was all the Old Testament, you know. It was the prophets and the law, right? I mean, you have to admit, that was pretty cool.
That was good stuff.
That was good stuff, man. As time went on, we understand, just like Christianity, the Jewish faith, it got diluted, okay? Reformed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole thing became diluted. It's not about Jesus. In other words, a Jew doesn't wake up in the morning in Hollywood and go, I'm going to come against that movie that talks about Jesus. It's all about the money. If you can make the money and Jesus is in it, I'll sell it. Here's the problem. That the Jews are gone, pretty much. It's been taken over by the one world order, by the new world order, one world government. Okay, and we can't get into that. We don't have time right now. It is, and what is that? Well, China's in it, Japan's in it. You got Saudi Arabia. Are they in it? Yeah. So you got a lot of Islam influence.
Wow.
You got, so it gets really big.
Oh, anti-Jesus stuff.
Anti-Jesus. So the answer is no on the. And I hear that, and
I hear it a lot.
It's a question that's merited, but the truth is, in my opinion, no. The Jews don't wake up. They don't have a huge influence anymore in Hollywood.
And you're right that some of the greatest Christian movies Ben-Hur,
yeah.
Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
But you produced them, right?
Yeah. If anything, Coach, they've been pushed out. That's the old school. You know, those guys, they respected morals back then. Well, they're dead now.
Well, they're none anymore.
But it's their great-grandchildren that don't have a clue. But they don't have any power, much power. They've sold out to the big corporations.
All the money.
It's the money. It goes back to Google and Yahoo and all the big
ones. I'm going to open it up. If somebody got a question for him, I got 1,000 things I want could ask him, but it's a great opportunity for you guys to ask. Come on in.
The production code, 1931. Notice what happened.
Start again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, under the production code in 1931, we established the production code so that Hollywood wouldn't subvert our society. And then in 1935, we got screwed by the pawnbroker. I don't know if you want to speak about that, David. And thanks, by the way, thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, you were breaking up. I heard something about production code and pawnbroker.
Right. But the production code was established in 1931. To keep the morals straight with the movies. In 1955, they got subverted by the pawnbroker. I just wonder if you want to speak on that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the production code that, and I'm sorry, what's your name?
It's Benny. It's
Benny. Hey, Benny.
From Brooklyn.
Thanks for that question. I'm glad you brought that up. The production code is different than the rating system. The production code was put on as a guideline for people producing the movies of what you can do and can't do. If you go back and look at the old movies, now I'm going to massacre this because this isn't my forte, but it was forbidden for two people to sleep together in the same bed.
Rob Petrie and his wife, Laura, were never in the same bed.
They always had two. Yeah. They always had two beds, even to the point that I remember because I worked with a lot of oldie-goldie guys, Martin Landau and Tony Curtis, and they'd tell me stories that was unbelievable, that when they got in bed and laid in bed with a girl, they had to have 1 foot on the floor, you know. So it was kind of like the commandments, those 600 commandments they came up with, you know. So there was all these things. It was a good thing. It's a production code, which means if I'm making a movie, I got to read, oh, okay, I can't have the girl hold hands, you know, and be 6 inches away from the guy, you know, whatever. Now, the pawnbroker, are you talking, Vinny, about the movie The Pawnbroker? Yellow.
You'll get there.
Yeah, okay.
Vinny, that's your big moment. You talking about the movie The Pawnbroker, Vinny?
Well, anyway.
Anyway, Vinny,
Dave?
When you said pawnbroker, you talking about the movie The Pawnbroker?
Vinny's asleep in his chair.
Okay, well,
go ahead, Rod. Come on in, Roger.
I was had a quick question and enjoyed hearing you.
Hey, Roger.
I'm pretty typical. Friday night, once every quarter, my wife and I say, "Let's go get some popcorn and pretzels and cheese and a Coke and go to a movie." Am I a bad guy?
Well, it depends on what
you're a bad guy for a lot of reasons. If you mean about movies, that's we can get into that.
Yeah,
it depends on what you put on your popcorn. I don't know if you're bad. Can you be a little more specific? Because I'm not quite sure.
Well, I like movies to relax. I'll go to a movie for popcorn, pretzels, and a Diet Coke, just to have a little entertainment. Now, I agree with you. There's not much good out there when we look for movies. But is your basic premise do not support these people at all?
Well, my premise, let me explain something. That's not my premise. My premise is standing on the blood of Jesus and whatever the truth is. I just happen to be coming out of Hollywood. I happen to know a little more about it than Coach or a few other people. But let me address the question you just asked. There is no way I would ever tell anybody not to go to a movie. There's no way I would tell anybody to change their life because I believe that somebody is doing something. That's something the Holy Spirit comes
in. That's right. So I can't tell you don't go to movies. The Holy Spirit has to tell you.
Exactly. But if there's something that we're saying here, something that I'm saying, you know, God has given me a platform just to what I believe to deliver the truth of really what's going on. If there's something that I say that would cause you to the Holy Spirit to start dealing with you, then yes. I will say this, okay? I must say this, that too many people, including myself for many years, okay? I'm pointing me first, all right? Have been brain dead and brainwashed, okay? By sitting in front of a screen and watching something and allowing even 10% of filth to come into my mind because I like 90% of what I thought was interesting, okay? Mm. It's like bringing it to coach's world. You've got a football team playing a game. You love football. And all of a sudden, you got cheerleaders stripping naked on the field doing this. You're going, okay, I'm just going to cover my eyes for a few minutes. Here, baby, yeah. Cover your eyes here. Let's get back to the game. I'm sorry. It's been disqualified. It's out the door. Jesus never told us that we can compromise 10%. I'm not preaching to you.
Yeah, sure. It's good, though, man. It's good.
Okay, I'm preaching.
No, it's
okay.
Good.
I'm
have
sorry.
Nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Yeah, and it's not just, and I mentioned nudity. It's not just that, and it's not bad language. And here's the other thing. Forget nudity. Forget bad language. Forget about when it comes to blasphemy and against God, that's what you have to be careful of. When they start preaching a different gospel, that's the danger. And watch the movies and go, what gospel are they preaching to me? Well, they didn't even mention God. Oh, well, this is how Satan operates. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to mention God. He mentions a philosophy, a way of
Amen.
Doing it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point. So it goes back to what we spoke about on Friday when I brought up the whole idea of alcohol and said, listen, don't you tell me I can't drink. That's the Holy Spirit's job to tell me that, right?
Right, huh? Exactly, yeah.
That's right. He said, well, the Lord has told me to I swear off alcohol. I'm never going to have any alcohol. Well, good. The Holy Spirit says that to me. I'll obey the Holy Spirit. But yeah. Same thing David said about going to movies. Let your conscience be your guide, provided you still have a conscience, provided it still works.
But you have to understand, Satan works through film in a big way because it's so ingrained in our culture and can get to our young people. So you have to be very careful. That's like eating a plate of food, knowing that cyanide is in it somewhere. You got to decide, okay, am I going to eat it?
Can I spit it out in time when I taste it?
Exactly. And remember this, folks, for the most part, anything that's majorly successful in our culture, 9 times out of 10, is usually not good in the kingdom of God.
They don't go together. Yes, sir. Come in.
If you take small doses of cyanide through the course of your lifetime, you become immune. Okay? So if you pray up and you go into a movie with what I call the Jesus lens, you're going to see symbology. You're going to see the pictures they put on the set. You're going to see maybe Kronos devouring his child in the background. Okay, these are symbology that's reaching out to the enemy. But look, we're scouts. We're forward scouts. We're watchmen. We need to see and understand the symbology. And we need to teach our children the symbology. If you don't go to the movies, pray up and be prepared to understand the devices of the enemy, you're missing out on a big chunk of what I call threat intelligence. Spiritual threat intelligence.
Great.
So look at the Marvel comics. Do you know the Savior? They called him Yahweh. He has a diamond in the middle of his head and so forth. Okay. So, you know, David could tell you hundreds, probably thousands of symbolic evil uses of movies.
We
have to understand it, right, Coach? We have to understand it.
The cult strong in Hollywood, David?
Yeah, the occult is very strong in Hollywood. You have to understand that, and I know what you're talking about by going to movies and watching them, okay? And I agree to a certain extent, but we have to be careful because I say that too. We cannot just watch something to say, I need to watch this so I can analyze it, so I can be prepared. Because while you're doing that, the enemy's throwing stuff into our brain.
Which is a weapon
against the mind of Christ. Okay. So getting back to the occult, and let me address this. Now, this is in my world. Okay. So somebody else may say something different, and they do say things different. I don't believe pedophilia, or any of the things you hear about is any more prevalent or any more deeper in Hollywood as it is anywhere else. But the power of the camera to promote it, that's the gun that shoots the bullet, okay? Mm. The bullets aren't used for anyone in Hollywood. They're used for middle America. They're used, they go after God's people. They're not interested in the religious system either. The religious system is in bed with them. They're, a lot of these churches are now promoting, they have tarot card readings to suck people in. They yoga are new classes, age. Yoga classes, they are new age. So they don't, that's why all the Six Flags are moving to California, because that's, you know, they're all, they all bed together. But they're after God's people. They're after you and they're after me. Okay, so we have to understand that this cult thing is not something that's in Hollywood. It's something that's in the gun that shoots out to people like us, and they want to take us out. You know, this, and we talked about this a little bit, like Kevin Spacey. You notice that they dropped the charges on with the guy that came against Kevin Spacey. All these guys that they're taking down, they're throwing them under the bus. This is all a game. They're going, hey, we got to sacrifice somebody. It's getting, the balloon's getting too big. We got to let some air out, you know.
Yep.
And this Jeffrey Epstein thing, that goes really. You and I talked about that. Something doesn't smell right with that, the whole way it's gone down. We're going to see from that. We're going to see a few Hollywood people go down. Definitely some political people. Definitely some bankers. You know,
It'll be clean then.
It'll be okay. We did. So with Hollywood, the thing that people do out there with the cannibalism and all this kind of stuff, that does happen because people have so much money that they go. I find that when my friends make so much money that they lose connection with reality. And I've sat with them. I mean, I've made movies with them. I've directed them. And I've talked to them. And I've looked them in the eye. And they're worth millions. But there's something different about a multimillionaire in middle America that runs a pencil factory than a Hollywood star who's making multimillions.
Different spirit, really.
It's a different spirit because they feel like they're untouchable. They feel like that they can do anything because they know that they influence a lot of people. So when I talk to them, especially on a spiritual level, they don't see me anymore. It's like there's nobody home.
Speaking of that, David, you had an eyeball to eyeball with Hillary Clinton.
Right? I did.
Tell them what you saw when you had an eyeball to eyeball with Hillary.
Yeah. You know, okay. So, you know, Coach, I don't go too political, but on your show, I should have figured you'd throw one at me that would just, I knew. Okay. So I was at a get together in Atlanta, Georgia. It was an invitation only, and I didn't want to go. It was, you know, it wasn't my cup of tea, but I went.
This wasn't last year, folks. This was
4 years, 3 years ago when she was, thought she already was president, you know, and it was about 50 people. And I was standing in, you know, front of her. We talked just for a brief moment. And Coach, there was nobody home.
Dark eyes.
It was nobody home. And it's the same look I've seen in a few of my Hollywood friends.
Because we talk about the demonic a lot on the show, David, right? What's going on behind the scenes, what's empowering that person, yada, yada, yada. Let me switch gears. We have a couple more questions. I got 12 minutes, and I want David to talk about what he's doing.
Was somebody home, but it wasn't Jesus. She was encapsulated by a spirit, brother, that she has subjected herself to. That's what's in there.
And only David could see it because he has the light within him, and he recognized that darkness. The Bible says, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yeah, you know, because I noticed a lot of other people around me. I watched them. I looked at them. Everybody was waving palm leaves, and I even talked to some of the other people, and no one could really relate to the things that I was saying. Or I didn't say anything. I just asked questions. Oh, greater, I mean, the greatest, you know. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's.
Come on in, Matt.
Hi, Dave. So what you're talking about being a vehicle, as far as Hollywood goes, having a driver in it, you talked about the subliminal messaging that they're doing and basically trying to come after Christians or people that have the light of Christ in them. What is their end game? to, I mean, because they're just a pawn that's on the board, but what is their intent, I guess, or what is their job?
Let me make this more pointed. Not everybody is Psalm 2, the kings of the earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Let's take Miley Cyrus. Let's take, pick, are they just willing dupes, David?
Yeah, they don't know. Now, you're asking me my opinion. I don't know Miley personally. Okay, I met her dad. So I have to tell you, first of all, I'm going to give you what I feel in my heart. A lot of these people you see, they don't know. They're just victims. I mean, they didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to, you know, be a Satanist. You know, they're used. Okay, they're used by Satan. Okay, mm-hmm. But to answer, I think, the question you're asking me, what's the agenda? If you read Matthew 10, you will see their agenda. It all comes down to scripture. You know, the whole thing is spiritual, but I don't want to just say it's spiritual. I want to be very specific. Father against child, I'm paraphrasing, the parents, the children against their parents.
Division in the home.
They want to destroy the family. And they started with it many years ago. I mean, you remember the soap operas coming into, they put TVs in every home so they can get to the women.
As the world turns.
These soap operas were nothing but was nothing but emotional pornography for women. You know, they get hung up on everybody cheating on everybody, right?
Right.
And guess what? You know all the VHS machines that used to be in the homes, VHS for us old guys?
Right.
You know how they got there?
No.
Pornography. They created VHS machines so they could sell pornography on VHS tapes, put them in homes. But once they got enough VHS machines and enough homes, they said, now we're going to pump regular movies into the home, but we're going to put the porno in the regular movies. Mm-hmm. So if you, that's when they, that R rating system.
Frankly, my dear,
that,
I don't give a damn. Right.
But you know, the R rating system, do you think that did any good with VHS in a home? Do you think a parent woke up on, honey, listen, you got to look at the R. Oh, that's R rated.
We're not going to watch that.
Not going to watch it. No, forget
it. They went looking for it, didn't they?
They went looking for it.
You'll get that R one.
Right. And they took away the production. I think Vinny talked about the production code. That was thrown out.
Okay, folks, listen, we got about 8 minutes left. And I know you got some more questions and it's all good. But I want to focus in. We talk a lot about censorship on here, David, being banned on Facebook and YouTube and social media. It's happening to everybody. Mm-hmm. You are building something that's going to be protective of that. Go ahead and talk about your DavidHebner.tv and all you're doing at Roku and Amazon. Go.
Thank you, Coach. Okay, so here's the thing. YouTube, Facebook, all of these platforms were getting censored. I am, big time. But you know what? It's their party, folks. You go to someone's party and they say, hey, sorry, no more
no Jesus.
Food. No Jesus. Hey, you got to leave. You have to abide by their rules. So understand that. We don't really have a right, okay? Mm. It's their party. So the first thing I did is I go, and this is what I always did being in film, I go, where's the big boys? Take me to wherever the big boys are, because wherever they are, they will not destroy the platform they're on because they can't blow it up. They'll blow themselves up.
So if a guy's on YouTube, he's not going to blow up YouTube because he loses his platform as well, right?
Right. So I went to what they call connected television. What is it? You ever heard of Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. You know, Netflix just made, I think they made $17 billion last year. You know, there Netflix, by the way, folks, is the most lucrative, the most money-making studio ever in history. Did you know that? Of all the studios, they've made more money than anybody. Oh. It's called connected TV. What is it? It's where the internet meets regular television. So Roku, Amazon, Apple, all these. So that's where I am. I created DavidHebner.tv. You go there. It's Roku. That is not censored. They will
Jared,
not.
Jared, can you pull that up? Go ahead, keep on talking.
They won't take you off. We have seven channels of truth, and if you scroll down, you'll see where we're saving babies. We have the Right to Life channel and the Last Evangelist channel, which is where Last Evangelist will play. I have a live show every Monday night at 8 with me. So you'll see Dr. Spalding is on. He does a show on the Bible and prayer. And Coach,
We're going to get on Roku.
Yeah, Coach is going to be, we're going to be on this train.
Because this ain't going to go down, David.
No, that won't go down. If it goes down, then the whole, everything goes down. They can't, this is a boat. They cannot blow up the back part of it and think that they're still going to float. So they have to, and that, this is where it is. So that's it. And that's why also, Coach, I'm making Last Evangelist is because I don't expect millions of people to watch this, but if the right people watch it, even two or three, that's all I care about. It's the truth. We got to get the truth out there. And if this will be rated R, but you know what? It's my channel.
That's
it's
right.
Our channel.
That's
we can
right.
rate it anything we want. It's rated G for God.
Amen. And
that's what we got to do. So can I just tell them?
Sure, sure.
Okay,
please.
LastEvangelist.com. Go there, sign the newsletter. Check out the teachers and hats. And also DavidHebner.tv. Go there, become a partner. Coach is going to be on here.
I'm going to use Roku to drive people to our website.
Mm-hmm.
An intermingling of what's going on. That will reach people on Roku that we're maybe not going to reach anyplace else.
Well, you will, but also remember, and this is what's the most important, and I've been crying this for a year, and not many people are listening. You have been. Folks, you'll wake up one morning, and there won't be a YouTube for you, okay? In other words, the viewer will go, and they won't see what it is they want to see. They'll only see what the agenda is.
What they want you to see.
What they want you to see, okay? They're slowly filtering out. So you'll have to decide, am I going to continue watching, you know, garbage, stuff that's not real, or am I just going to shut it off? Well, people like us are going to go to a platform, Roku, and that's the new. So I say now is the time. Let's make that move now.
Build a boat, baby.
Let's not
build us an ark.
Yeah.
So, you know, technology, don't ever forget this, friends. Don't ever forget Psalm 2, that the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. And we can see this evil manifesting itself in many different ways. But ultimately, it's good against evil, dark against light, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And this technology, unfortunately, most of the technology is not in the hands of the good people. The devil's team has come in and has seized all of the technologies. We were asleep. They've done that to us. They have impacted the world through this one-eyed monster. Think about how many TVs are there in your house. In the average house you walk in, it's in every room, and they've used this to manipulate us. So we have a decision that we have to try to make, David. Do we turn it off, or do we try to infiltrate it?
That's right.
Do we try to get in there and try to find those same people that are channel surfing or whatever? That's what the Last Evangelist, David Hebner TV, all that stuff is all about. We have to. We got to be proactive. We got to get ahead of the enemy on this one. David, we've got just a couple minutes here. Anything? Do you want to kind of wrap it up here, bud?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, we've been putting down films, and you know, it sounds like I'm poo-pooing everything that exists, but film and motion picture is one of the most powerful tools we can ever use for God. You have to understand, God created the ability for us to do this. But the question is, do we use the world of Satan or the mind of Christ? Okay, so no matter what you do, what you watch or what you make, go back to God and ask God, I have the mind of Christ. I have your mind, Lord. Would you please download more information for me?
Show me how to use it.
Show me how to use it, you know. So what I'm saying is only from my point of view of where God has me right now. God may have you someplace else. I want to warn you, and I want to encourage you. I want to warn you against going into enemy territory thinking that you're going to check things out and spend a lot of time this, and this. It's a warning. It's not telling you not to do it. Be careful, because it seeps in. It takes it. Because I did that for years, and I thought I could withstand it, and I couldn't. I couldn't. It's a low-grade fever, right?
Mm.
That's the warning. Here's the encouragement. Go ye therefore and kick their rear end.
Amen, baby. Let's go on the offensive. That's what the whole thing this weekend is all about,
right?
That's right. Figure out what tools we have, how we can use those tools, and let's don't sit in our houses and sharpen our spear.
That's right. That's right.
Right? Let's go out there.
Amen.
And become the tip of the spear and make a great difference for the cause of Christ. Don't ever forget this. All that technology, God's in control of all that technology. Sure. It was all his idea, all the data and all that stuff. He put it all together.
Yeah.
And for too long, we've sat back. We've let the enemy be in charge of it. God bless you, David. God Thanks bless for being you, with us. Last you. Evangelist, DavidHeavener.tv. DavidHeavener.tv. Go and sign up. Become part of it. And let's figure out a better way to fight back against these forces of darkness. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.